We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Ding, 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 step in from the port. We in first black champ. Let it begin. Camp from the port. They are banging the corner. Real talk, real heat. Tune in, now we on ya. Ding, ding, step in. Mic check. Let it spin. From the port, we in first black champ. Let it begin.
Oh, yeah. You heard the intro. You heard the explosion at the end. You know what it's time for. But let me just give you a precursor. You know, this is a place where you can talk about wrestling like nobody else in the entire world. And we are the leaders of exactly that. Hey, Saturday night's main event has just passed. SummerSlam is on the way. And you want a couple guys that might be knowledgeable about wrestling in a way that maybe you are not, so you can talk about it. So please get ready. It is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I am your podcast Intercontinental Champion, Champ from the Port.
And I am JR Bank. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Network, home of First Black Chat Podcast. Listen to all episodes there, and you make sure that you subscribe to the Barbershop Network and Some Dude Media for the YouTube. Great show planned for you today. But yeah, Before we get started, hey, got a question for you. And I actually didn't think about this until we hit the record button.
Okay.
I saw this morning somebody saying that Gen Z is starting to listen to more physical media now and looking at more, you know, buying vinyl, they're buying CDs and all of that stuff. Would you welcome a world where we will get more physical media of wrestling? Wrestling tapes and DVDs, could that be a comeback? If physical media is back, could we see a comeback when it comes to physical media for wrestling?
I would sure hope so, because, again, we talk about it often, that 80s and 90s period. There's a lot of, like, sleeper great pieces of content on Coliseum Video, and I still want the Coliseum Video collection, like, all the little side character building ones, some of the Saturday Night's main events. I want Pile Driver. You dig what I'm saying? Like, hey, yo, hey, listen, I am one of the few children who literally ran to Stars and Stripes Video and Hollywood Video, because it changed over time in Freeport. If you were there, you know, to get just Pile Driver. I used to get Pile Driver and WrestleMania 4. Those were the two that I used to rent, like, all the time. So if you want to know why I would want physical copies back, to just have both of those.
I am a streamer. Like, I love streaming. I love the access of it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've definitely been feeling the itch of physical media. I've been feeling the itch of, man, should I go buy this on DVD? Like, should I get the 4K Blu-ray joint? Should I get the CD and everything? But then where I'm going to play it and all of that stuff? But I got a PlayStation 4 upstairs. Should I invest in a DVD player? I've kind of turned the garage a little bit for right now into like a home theater area and everything. Nice. Got the projector and stuff. So I'm like, man, could just go up in there, just like, could I do that? I've been feeling that itch. And when it comes specifically to wrestling, like, one thing that I've been disappointed at with the changes of the streaming when it comes to the E and others is the fact that the WWE Network is gone. So with the WWE Network is gone, now I got to go to Netflix or YouTube to go look at WrestleMania 5 or SummerSlam 88 or Starrcade 83 or some. I miss the WWE Network. Remember the day it debuted. I remember the day it debuted and me saying that Vince McMahon is going to get $9.99 from me the rest of my life. Yeah, and he can, like, the WWE could still get $9.99 from me the rest of my life if they just bring the WWE Network back. It was easier to find the new stuff, the old stuff, the vintage stuff, the now they're putting the, I see they've started to put like some of the old tapes and stuff on it. Like, if we had the WWE Network back, then I probably wouldn't feel this way. But since we don't, yeah, I want to see all of the old tapes. So I got to get all of the old tapes. Mm-hmm. So I might have to get a VCR. I might have to get something, but we need to go ahead and bring that back, man. We just, it's either bring the WWE Network back or WWE start reinvesting in physical media and start re-releasing shit. You know what I'm saying? Get your turn of home videos back. And you know what they do? They refurbished it, whatever they call it.
Oh yeah, I tell them like remaster it and re-release it and whatever.
Yeah, you go. I was trying to think the word, you know. Like Gone with the Wind, remastered. And it's like, oh shit, we see the colors. Okay. Nah, fam. I need all of the old WWF tapes remastered. And just sell them. We need that back, Cam.
Hey, listen, I'm not mad at it, but whether it's the network itself or physical copies, hey, look, I was just thinking, like, what is a cool way to store all my CDs that I still have with the ones that have survived over time? So I'm just a, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a physical media person in general. And, I mean, look, hey, listen, even Generation Alpha, because that's where my daughter would fall into, and she wanted vinyls 2 years ago for Christmas. Like, that was what she wanted. She's like, I want a record player and vinyls. And I know the vinyls that I want to collect. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's awesome because now we can have a different method of bonding over music, whether it's culture clash or not. It's like, oh, you want that feeling of collecting this physical piece of music media. And I think as we get into this cloud world, we kind of forget that those were moments in itself. Like, you remember why you went and bought a CD and how you got the money to get the CD, sometimes with better memories than you remember the actual album you purchased.
Yeah.
So even just having those kind of stories, I think, are just important for just life development, let alone just convenience of just having something. You know what I mean?
We are bringing them conversations back, fam. Well, look. Let's get started with the show. Saturday night's main event was last night at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It was definitely lit. Fanatics Fest is this weekend in New York. So, I mean, what better time to have a show when everybody and their mama from the WWE and all across the entertainment world is going to be at Fanatics Fest. Whole bunch of celebrities was up in the building. They had so many celebrities at Madison Square Garden that when they were doing their whole, like, celebrities in the building, it was celebrities missed. Wow. And it was so many celebrities there to where, If you go back and you look at Saturday night's main event and watch them do it, like, you saw WWE employees and on their personalities behind the celebrities. Like, I want to say it was O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, and Not Sam was right behind them. And it was somebody else, and not necessarily right behind them, like rows behind them. Like, not what his jersey is, like rows behind them, and Not Sam was like. And Cher Schreiber was there after one of the celebrities. She's like, hey. So it was hilarious in itself. But let's get to the card. Madison Square Garden, Trick Williams. He was one of the celebrities that was in the building, that was in the crowd. He had his belt and everything. I did not realize, because yesterday, first of all, happy 70th birthday to my father and my uncle. Today, yay, the Lees turn a milestone 70 years old. Nice. So I did not watch this live. I watched it this morning.
Yeah.
So when I watched it this morning, I was like, where's the Trick Williams match? Well, it was a pre-show match, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Trick Williams faced the Laredo Kid in a pre-show match. Why are we putting Trick Williams in a pre-show match, Cap? I'm confused.
For me, it'll probably be the opponent. And I you know what I mean? I mean, just, you know, just let's start keeping it real, like right there. You know what I mean? But also, you know, pre-shows normally, I would say, have a bad stigma to them as wrestling fans. However, though, I think under this TKO Endeavor era or regime, if you will, I kind of feel like they think that stacking the card with star power from front to back. Trick Williams, I mean, unless even if you haven't been watching wrestling as much as me this year, this calendar year, you know that Trick Williams is one of the most over superstars in wrestling, period, right now. So anytime that you can get him on your show, it's never a bad thing. Now, he is a champion, and it do look a little shady, sketchy, whatever, what have you. But I think you change his opponent, and he's opening the show versus opening the entrance for the show.
Right. Well, look, with that being said, yeah, he beat the Laredo Kid. What we expect there?
You know what,
right?
I mean?
But I think the biggest thing that I'll say to that is the fact that if you're gonna spotlight Danhausen,
yeah,
now I understand the hype. If you're gonna spotlight Danhausen, well, I mean, for kids, I get it, for kids and that thing. There's a lot of merch being sold, not for us grown folks. If you're 40 plus talking about, oh man, Danhausen, think you're a virgin.
They don't think.
Only reason why I said think, because you could pay for it. That's the only reason why I'm like,
and there's some situations in life where I might encourage paying for it. Being a super fan of Danhausen might be one of those moments.
Maybe one of those moments.
I'll put 50 on it if it's really, you know what I mean? If you need it, if you're in need, I'll put 50 on it.
It's one of those moments where you might have paid the five, right? Or the 40, you know, but I feel like when you look at Danhausen, Trick Williams, Obafemi, like those three, which is probably your three most popular wrestlers on the E right now, named Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and quite honestly, might be more popular. Just throwing it out there. You put them on TV. Like, you put them right out in front. But Trick Williams defeated the Laredo Kid on the pre-show. Then the show starts with, hey, man, something I'm very excited about. I was happy about. Fatal Influence defeated Brie Bella and Paige to win the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. I will say, when we get back to the end, when we get to the end of the show, we're going to talk about the Women's World Championship and what's going on with Rhea Ripley right there. But when JC Jane did not advance into the ladder match, I just knew it was official that Fatal Influence was going to come out of this weekend with a title. So, hey, the ladies win, man. How we feel about Fatal Influence winning the tag team championships? Or a little segment that I know you guys know and love on this show. Do we care? Do we care about Fatal Influence winning the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships?
If we don't, we should. I know I care. I'm actually surprised this took this long. You know what I mean? I didn't expect Paige and Brie to be just champions for this long. I get debuts. I get who Paige is. I get, like, literally part of her gimmick is, yo, I show up the first night and I win a belt or a title. This was out of place. And for the young ladies who come night one and get themselves clean and clear over, this is just more of a reason to care. So, absolutely care about this. And congrats to those ladies as well.
Yeah, man, I really think that this is dope. The Fatal Influence, as soon as they got to the main roster, they've been lit. Like, they've been lit since day one. JC Jane, Fallon Henley, and I can't remember old girl's name. It's I just forgot it that quick. But when they made the change, with the group, when old girl who played the soccer, when she left, there was a lot of people that was wondering if this group was going to lose its luster coming up to the main roster. Some people was like, yo, they might be staying too long on NXT, well, in NXT. So as soon as they got to the main roster, they were getting epic levels of heat. At some points, you couldn't even talk. Like, they couldn't even talk on that joint. So, to see them get the Women's Tag Team Championships, I do like this. I like this for the Women's Tag Team Championships, too, because we have somebody that's an actual tag team that's going to carry it. You got the Freebird rule that could be used for this one, too. So, I love this. I am with you, Kemp. I care. Stop the music. So, we're not going to diss those championships right now anymore. But I know Camp is going to diss the next one. Danhausen not only won, but he beat his mans, JD McDonagh. He defeated him with the help of the little Danhausens and the Knicks, man. Karl Anthony Towns out there choke slamming JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio. Danhausen wins with his Triple D, which is the Danhausen Death Drop, to win the match. A lot of love. And Camp, you might not be aware of this, because I know you have not necessarily watched wrestling a lot, but I'll also add to the fact that, you know, I don't think you are sitting around watching the NBA Finals or the NBA Playoffs. Am I wrong in that?
I caught more NBA playoff games this year than I caught wrestling. Believe it or not.
But you didn't connect the two, right?
Like, what are you talking about? Danhausen being a Knicks fan?
Not just the Knicks fan. Not just being a Knicks fan. This goes to Stephen A. Smith and the Knicks and Danhausen, where Danhausen cursed every team that the Knicks played for, and they won. So if you look at the Knicks parade and their ceremony, there's not only a lot of people that had a post of Danhausen in the Knicks jersey, there's some people that think that Danhausen deserves a ring. I point to you.
Hey, look, man. Wildly enough, though, because I did see some of those clips. I did. I was like, I said, why is the first time I seen it, I was like, why does Stephen A. Smith look like he's crying over Danhausen? Like, what does this mean? Like, that was a thumbnail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I clicked and I was like, ain't no way. So I clicked off of it. I didn't even watch the whole video. I'm like, all right, this is enough. I got like a minute and a half in. I'm like, this is enough. But then I did see him saying, yes, my Knicks. And then I was like, what? I said, wait, okay, so wait, dude, is he like the ball boy? Like, he like the new mascot of MSG? Like, what's happening? So it wasn't until I think they got to the finals where he was like, I think he cut some promo about every team being cursed or whatever and how it's working, and this is like the final stage of completion or whatever. And I was just like, man, this is so wild and on time that, like, you know what? if they did give him a ring, I ain't tripping. But make sure Spike Lee get one too, though. Because Spike Lee needs one. Because he's been a Nick longer than every Nick on the team combined.
And a daddy problem.
You dig? So, so for me, yeah, I, as much as this, everything about this is GTFOH for me. but give dude a ring if it's gone this far. I mean, look, he had a cat out there looking like the Terminator, but like the creator player version of the Terminator. Like when you just when you got on like your Halloween costume, but your mom only gets you the accessories. Like he just got the glasses, so he the Terminator. Just like if you had the blue towel, you were Batman. it's like that.
It's like one of them 80s commercials. Wow, Teddy, what do you got? The Terminator.
You know what I'm saying? You get a black
jacket and glasses. You get a glasses, the leather jacket, and a toy AK-47. You too can be just like the Terminator. Yeah. I'll be back. Like
you gotta hit him with the line so they know.
Hasta la vista, baby. But the glasses only cost $19.99, and your mama went to the store and was like, look, I can't get you the whole set.
Right.
But you get these glasses. However, now let me add to the Knicks love when it comes to Karl Anthony Towns and Danhausen, because as we had mentioned, Karl Anthony Towns' cat was just throwing up choke slams and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, there's a sports player. And I know Hood is gonna look at this and be like, all right, bang, you're going too far. But here's why I like Karl Anthony Towns on Saturday night's main event.
Okay.
He fit. Like this didn't look like Shaq. And what I mean by that is Shaq always looked weird in a ring and was a bit too serious. Maybe he needed the shades, but it was just like, all right, fam, like we know. And then they like, and I think it's because they like paired him with the Big Show. It's like, all right, fam, it's like, all right, we doing too much. No, if we gonna do the big man in the ring, have the big man be in the ring with somebody small so it looks real. Because ain't no way in hell y'all gonna tell me that the Big Show is going to be locked up in that way with Shaq.
Right.
Even though Shaq is 7 foot, 300 and something pounds, the way you've built the Big Show is the Big Show should be beating everybody's ass. Now, you have famously said that they've treated the Big Show like a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
But he also knocking out Chris Jericho and The Miz and other small wrestlers with one punch. But also, you could go, if somebody smart and really love wrestling, they would get a picture of a WWE Hall of Famer because they damn near got the same hair, just that this person's hair was kind of gray after the last time we saw him a couple of times. They damn near both the same height, feel like they walk the same. Somebody please go get a picture of the big cat Ernie Ladd and Photoshop cat's face on him.
The big cat.
The big cat, Karl Anthony Towns, ladies and gentlemen. Last night on Saturday night's main event, we saw the debut of the big cat, Karl Anthony Towns. Put him in the wrestling ring right now. Put him in the Royal Rumble, even though it's during the NBA season. Hey, Dennis Rodman did it. He could do it too. All right. Yeah. Put him in the Royal Rumble. Put him in the WrestleMania Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Have him do the little arm thing that he did last night. You know what I'm saying? With the choke slam and shit, because it was so natural. Do that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the new version of the big cat Ernie Ladd for these Generation Z and Generation Alpha folks. Because we didn't get a chance to see him in his prime. Only time we got to see him or him was when he was doing announcing. This is for the hood era folks that love Greg the Hammer Valentine and got mad at us because we ain't know Greg the Hammer Valentine. Make Big Cat Carl Anthony Towns happen, Triple H.
Right. Well, hey, look, if Cat wanted to be the Big Cat, then I guess it's cool. What one thing I will say, though, is why I never liked Shaq in the ring is because, man, does he oversell. He oversells to be like, it's just like even the lockup with the Big Show. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, Rey Mysterio never would have sold like this with the mask off.
That's all I'm saying.
Like, what are you doing? So no, I do at least appreciate Kat taking the more stoic, strong man approach to it versus doing his best to try to sell the moment and for us to not get it, Shaq. You're still on the clock for the match that all the matches that never happened.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, man. That's it. That's all, y'all. Let's move on. And I'm joking. Please don't.
Think that Cat Carl Anthony Towns could ever be Big Cat Ernie Ladd? Like, he's a legend, bro.
Boy, it's going to be some old-ass nerd on here that's like, yo, y'all, oh, man, y'all. And we might get some slurs thrown at us, too. Lyra Valkyra defeated Bayley by submission. She choked the shit out of her. Especially after Bayley bloodied her last night, hit her in the nose, looked like she broke her nose and shit. I don't know if she did that shit on purpose or not. I doubt she did, but damn, I was like, Bayley, you gotta watch them elbows and the forearms, fam. Her face was right there. So Lyra Valkyra wrestled with a bloody nose. Even the referee had the gloves and the white towel. Like, look, wipe your nose after this Irish whip. But how do you like this Lyra Valkyra crackhead clucker type character they're trying to throw at us? Because it don't even feel like she's crazy. They feel like Lyra's a clucker at this point. She a cluck. Not a cuck, but a cluck.
And based on the shirt that she wore, I was just like, so is she a meth addict? Like, what were you? Like, what is this? Like, I don't get crazy. I get dingy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's like trailer trash Trish Ann. Like, now, like, you know,
man.
Know. It's like, I don't think this is going over the way I think it is. But so character change, I think, was important for her because I didn't think all the clapping and the bird stuff was going to get over with just young girls. Only because I mean, listen, as you age, especially with the age of technology and social media, like we even started the show with, eventually you're gonna turn 16 to 18, and whether it's the Urban Dictionary or the lunch table, you're gonna find out that being a bird ain't really cool, and it's universal. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you don't want to be a bird. Like this, and women are never considered eagles. Don't want to be a bird. You know what I mean? So it's so I do think it was important for that. I do like her mocking her own pose, even though now it makes more sense to be doing it though. Like, actually, with that face and that hair and that outfit, it kind of looks like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going. Where? Like, versus,
I don't know what the fuck they got me doing.
You know what I'm saying? So I do want to see where this goes. Because I don't think trailer trash Trish Ann has as much of a powerful shelf life, even if she is choking people out. So I kind of want to see where this goes before I say, this ain't it.
Do I got to play the music?
Yeah, you can play the music.
All right. Because it's not that I don't care. I don't care. We like her. Mm-hmm, we like Lyra Valkyra on this show. Like, I know some of the people who listen to the pod be like the bird lady and all that stuff. We're fans of her and what she do. However, we gotta figure out if she's a crackhead or she's just off a little bit. We gotta figure out if she's a meth addict or she's just a little bit crazy. We got to figure it out. And maybe, just maybe, we're going to get a trajectory of her slowly becoming a bit off, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want her to become Nikki Cross either. Yeah, I like the fact that she mocked that character, because it was like, y'all had me doing this shit. Look at me and that thing. I think the biggest thing is Bayley. When you look at the women on this roster that's been around for a long time, yo, it just feel like we're going to get an announcement next week that Bayley is no longer with the WWE. And I know Mercedes Moné had, I think, put on her Instagram stories or something, you know, her versus, you know, Bayley's independent character, her taking that name back. But it don't feel like Pam going to be in the WWE this, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It just don't. And when you look at the New Day, and when you look at Sheamus, all who people thought were going to be WWE lifers.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, because of what I saw and how I saw it, because it was definitely a, yo, let's do something to get her off of the camera. Like, let's do something to put an end of this feud, or at least put a pause on it. But let's do something to get her off camera. She got choked out to lose. She got choked out in the ring. She got a Death Valley driver on the stairs. It don't feel like Bayley is going to be with the WWF in the near future. It feels like to me that she will be given an announcement after it is announced that she's no longer with the E. And you're going to see people like Mercedes Moné, like, yeah, girl, yo, we about to wrestle in AEW. Let's go ahead and slide. It feels like that, because it's no motion in the Bayley character anymore. I mean, it is no motion. And when you look at Charlotte Flair, when you look at Alexa Bliss, shit, when you look at Paige and Brie Bella, when you look at the vets on this roster, man, it don't feel like Bayley is even in that lane right now. And being that's the case, Lyra said, you're the worst out of the four horsewomen. Ladies and gentlemen, the way things moving, that not only feels like it's a fact of a statement, this feels like not only is a fact, it is TKO telling her, like, fam, you ain't Charlotte, and you ain't Mercedes Moné, you ain't Becky Lynch, so you could go.
Yeah, it's, man, everything that we saw from the, like, just the next generation of just WWE superstars, and I'm going to count that from 2012, because that's the Shield debut on, right? I didn't think the E would look like this right now, where some of the mainstays who are now late 30s, maybe 40s, some even maybe, you know, creeping up on 50 when you talk about Sheamus. You know, this, to me, this is almost, no, it's not even almost. It's definitely like the Ruthless Aggression era kind of happening, and then being like, hey, well, Brett, you know, it's been real, man, but you know, we paying you too much to be here now. Or it being like hey Davey Boy and Godfather and all you guys, like, it's like, you know what, man, it's been a good run, but you know, I think this is where we get off. And it's just like, wait, hold up, there's a whole decade defined by the work that we've put in here at the WWE's. The young boys are now young men, bringing their sons here, or daughters, and to see that happening so much with what is going on with the current wrestling roster, and you look at somebody like Bayley, much like Sheamus, with Bayley, it's like, wait a minute, Bayley has been through so many changes of being the only face for young girls. Like, and we're going to, like, unceremoniously, like, kind of like just take that away. Again, for blueprints, the Buried Lady will never be as popular as the Hugger, And the Hugger got over twice. Once in NXT and once on the main roster. So doing that to a Bayley, it doesn't make sense. You can't make it make sense in this environment. And it's alarming because now what I'm looking at, Bang, as we talk about like these things, who are going to be the new people to carry the company for a decade? Or does that even matter anymore? Like, it used to matter that, oh, we got somebody for the next 10 years, hopefully the next three WrestleMania or three of the next 10 WrestleMania main events or night one or night twos. And we can see them being built for that. It doesn't seem like that's happening anymore. And then you got character changes. I mean, look, Charlotte likes somebody from Flirty Girl Fitness. Not that I'm necessarily mad at the aesthetic, but it's like, that ain't the queen. That's not Queen Charlotte Flair. I never thought I'd see her out in camel pants and a crop top. And like, and them shoes that like from Zara or somewhere. I don't know where she getting her shoes from. But this is all alarming to me because why would Charlotte think the way to keep her in the game is to kind of dress like a Spice Girl on the reunion tour?
Hey, man. Hey, now we go into, let me stop the music. Now we go into the main events, really, for SummerSlam. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes defeated Gunther and Sami Zayn for the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship. If Sami Zayn and Gunther won, then it would have turned into a four-way, fatal four-way. But that's not going to be the case for various reasons. But CM Punk and Cody Rhodes is there. Now, part of that reason is because of SmackDown general manager, and we can expect for them to say on Friday that he is the former SmackDown general manager because Nick Aldis cost Gunther and Sami Zayn the match. He pulled out the referee, and once he pulled out the referee, Gunther was like, "Huh, what are you doing? What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And then, things ensue, and then we have CM Punk and Cody Rhodes being the winners. Now, let me state this. Get this out the way. Nick Aldis will be 40 in November.
Mm.
When you look at that lineup, especially for the men, he's one of the youngest people that will be on the SummerSlam card. Yeah. That's it. Nick Aldis ain't old, ladies and gentlemen. He's not even old in wrestling terms. Like, Nick Aldis has been, the SmackDown GM for about, 2 years? When he came onto the SmackDown, the WWE roster in general, there's a person on this podcast named Cam from the Port was like, "Yo, when he gonna rest?"
Yeah. Yep.
Cam from the Port been waiting for the National Treasure to rest since he got here. And we out there with these suits on and shit, we was like, "Yo, so when he gonna wrestle?" Well, we feel like we're gonna get that. What we on First Black Champ has been petitioning for, we feel like we're gonna get that this coming SummerSlam, night one, night two, August 1st and August 2nd, against Gunther. So let me start by asking this question. How are you feeling about the potential of Gunther versus Nick Aldis, the National Champion?
Man, I think it's going to be great. You know, there was a time where maybe Gunther wouldn't have been the right opponent for him because he'd probably get squashed. But that ain't this day, and that means that people get to see NWA Nick Aldis, which I think is important because there was only one title reign running concurrent with Roman Reigns as the Tribal Chief in wrestling, period, and it was Nick Aldis in the NWA holding the 10 pounds of gold. So, for me, man, I think that this is it's just a great time to see Nick on the biggest stage that he's been in, as far as to my recollection, because I always consider the WWE and the main roster or PLE for the WWE as the biggest stage you can be on, even if it's not the marquee joints. So now you get a bigger audience, you get a formidable opponent. You can't mail this one in at all. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not gonna get that classic debut exhibition, and you're gonna get just a great dance partner that can make this look like, hey, we could take this out the Survivor Series if you really want to do it like that. And that's what I love about this first match for Nick Aldis. See, there was a time where somebody might come into a GM role, they ain't wrestled in a minute, and when they're trying to dust the cobwebs off or whatever, they do get like a JD McDonagh, or you get a Miz, or you get somebody where it's like, that's a cagey veteran, that's a very savvy opponent, but you got this. Nick Aldis runs the risk, because of who Gunther is, he run the risk of people going out there like, hey, yeah, but you want to get your ass beat, though. And, you know, if he don't, okay, wow, what else you got? So that's why this, for me, is one of the best ushering ins, one of the best debuts, and the best setup for success, because even the loss to Gunther is like, well, you lost to Gunther, so it's all good. But if you beat him, it's like, oh, okay, well, what's next? Him again? Because, hey, I'm not mad at that either. So, man, for me, it's all win. It's batting 1,000, no matter the outcome. Really happy for Nick Aldis. If he would celebrate how I would, I know he called his wife immediately and went crazy. And why not? Because you are officially on a WWE SummerSlam card, sir. Congratulations.
So for those who might not be aware, Nick Aldis is the husband of Mickey James, WWE Hall of Famer. So camp is right. Now, with that being said, this is now a one-on-one match. Now, if you guys missed the pod last week, I said that CM Punk should turn heel. Mm-hmm. Some of Punk NWO style, you know what I'm saying? Cody, yesterday it felt weird. When I was watching, for me this morning, Saturday night's main event felt weird from a Cody CM Punk standpoint, because it felt like Cody was just like trying to find the right word. Sarcastic, I think, is the right word to use here. We should come out at the same times. Like, no, the champ comes out last, fam. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It felt like Cody was doing too much. Mm-hmm. And in the match, there was a couple of mishaps, like it would be in a match like this. But CM Punk and Cody wins. They talk. You see a little bit of tension there. Then they raise each other's hands, and CM Punk turns around, put the belt over his shoulder, but he hits Cody in the face. Cody like, damn, this nigga just hit me in the face with the belt. Like, what? It felt old school Saturday night's main event. Mm-hmm. There's not a storyline on Saturday night's main event that gets better than the Mega Powers exploding. In fact, that will always and forever be my favorite storyline, even big better than the NWO to me. Okay. Because, man, the buildup of Macho Man winning the championship but still being in Hogan's shadow, but Hogan not wanting to relinquish the shadow, and then he gets Elizabeth as the manager, and then at SummerSlam he puts Elizabeth on his shoulder, but he touches her ass, and Macho Man like, yo, you getting a little bit too touchy-feely, my G, and you getting a little bit too close. Like, I'm still the champ. I'm the number one dog here. Hogan, oh, I know, brother, and all that stuff. And then it gets to the Twin Towers, you know, Akeem and Big Boss Man, and those matches. And then they have these matches, and they need each other help. But then you get to the main event, and you see Hogan leaves the ring to go pick up Elizabeth after Macho Man is thrown on her. He's, oh my goodness, Elizabeth, she's going to die. Like, she's not going to die, Hogan. And then Macho Man got to fend for himself by by wrestling two niggas that's 400 pounds and they kicking his ass, and then Hulk Hogan finally want to come back after, you know, getting a little touchy-feely with Elizabeth, saying like, oh, brother, give me the tag, and he slaps him, and then Hogan wins the match, but he goes back like, yo, where's Macho? You got jealous eyes? So like, all of that is Saturday night's main event to main event.
For sure.
Last night felt like that a bit. Because you see the sarcasm from Cody, but you also kind of see it from CM Punk. But it's more or less like, fam, what are you talking about? Like, you, what are we doing here, fam? Like, you yeah. know what the lid is. Like, why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing this? And then, like I said, a couple of mishaps, but you didn't really get the, man, what are you doing? Like, did you hit me? No, I didn't hit you on purpose. You ain't really get that. But right. it was just subtle moments. Mm-hmm. And when that belt hit Cody in the face, I said, oh, this is interesting. And it's interesting for two reasons. Because now you can really go one of two ways. You can say that Cody Rhodes is being a bit emotional by not being the champion, especially going into a major event. And also, when you look at CM Punk, who's the older wrestler who has the most experience and all of that mm-hmm. stuff, and that was low key his big homie at OVW. It's like, yo, you trying to sun me, fam? But then from the CM Punk side of it, it could be subtle ways of CM Punk sunning Cody Rhodes. Like, fam, like you ain't even like you got your Intercontinental belt, camp. You got the belt on you. You grab that belt and you just flick that bitch. You know what I'm saying? You flick the shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you hit the dude right next to you in the eyes. Like, damn, it's like it's like Strongjay. It's like Strongjay hitting Eddie Murphy, Marcus Graham in the face with the clipboard on Boomerang. Aftermath. Like, it's like that. It's like, I'm very interested to see how they work this in the next couple of weeks, because the tension is slowly building. I wish it was a longer bit of time to build this tension, mm-hmm. but it's there. Mm-hmm. And it felt old school Saturday night's main event last night. It felt old school Saturday night's main event when it comes to CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, and being able to go, okay, I don't know how this is going to end, but something's brewing. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised if it's something that's big and takes over the summer going into the fall. It would not shock or surprise me. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, so they're going to do as much as they can with this. That's, I think that's just number one. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, I mean, look, we haven't even gotten to the space where the crowd picks a side. And so we still got to get there, I think, before it's truly over. You know, I think we're gonna get the tweener match that everybody is expecting, or what everybody would want, I guess. And then somebody's gonna have to win, somebody's gonna have to lose. And as we know, with just the history of Cody and CM Punk since their returns, hey, look, I'm just one promo away from a world title, or I am one mild obstacle away within the pantheon of my career from getting back into this title hunt. So for me, man, I think they about to Ali Frazier this. I think they about to Holyfield Tyson this. I say it a little bit condescendingly because I don't know if I'm excited for it. Again, the whole dream match angle didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
One of them need to turn up, though. I tell you that. Like, somebody need to turn up. I don't care which one, because I love both of these guys as heels. I am not averse to them being a face. I can't really determine who's the better heel right now. But somebody got to turn up on the heel side of things, get me invested to see this two more times, because we are going to see this at least two more times. I do like, the only thing I will say is that I do like that we are not purposely trying to save everything for WrestleMania. There does need to be big blockbuster marquee matches for SummerSlam and for Survivor Series and for the Royal Rumble. I still do believe in that. I like the title matches at the Royal Rumble mattered to me at one point, and they've stopped for some reason. I've never been the biggest fan of, oh, if I didn't main event at WrestleMania, then my match wouldn't a big deal. That's trash thinking. That's incorrect thinking. Some of the greatest wrestling moments, and I think any real wrestling fan will agree, a lot of them don't happen at WrestleMania if you are a real fan of this. So I don't want them to draw it out that long, but at the same time, I do believe that they're just trying to get as much as they can out of this just in case it doesn't make it there, and I'm more than okay with that.
And that leads us to the possible night two main event. Definitely feels that way, Roman Reigns versus Seth. They did not wrestle, but they did have the NBA flavor next to them. Jalen Brunson with Roman Reigns and Tyrese Halliburton with Seth Rollins. Also, shouts out to Trae Young, who ripped Jalen Brunson's jersey at Fanatics Fest. Yeah, NBA, yeah. All right, fam. I see y'all and everything. I know you've had questions about both of these matches.
Yeah.
The rollouts, the anticipation, all of that. Did you feel like, I'll start with Saturday night's main event. Do you think Saturday night's main event did a great job at pushing along this feud?
No. I was trying to shoot some bail, but no. Hey, listen, man. Sports is basketball. Sports is wrestling. Tyrese Halliburton coming out there after this season? Nah. Sorry, that fell flat. That fell super flat. You've been better off. Shit, you could have brought Chet Holmgren out there. That would have been better.
Man, they should have brought out Trae Young. I think the first would have been Trae Young.
Yeah, at least Trae Young and his relationship with New York is on any time of the season. Tyrese Halliburton came out there gingerly with the chair and all of that. Like, man, I get it, but the Pacers and him got to do a lot better to make that scene matter. See that this. I'm sorry, but Indianapolis, y'all earned this. See, this is why I was never a Colts fan. Because Indianapolis sports fans happen to think that no matter when the clash happened, no matter what the records say, it's a rivalry. They felt that way about the Patriots, felt that way about the Bears, they felt that way about the Bulls. And I'd be like, hey, look, man, if the team keep coming to y'all house and keep eating y'all food and putting your kids to bed and taking your wife on a night out in town, it ain't no rivalry. You house it. Like, that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, we come here and kick y'all ass. We'd like this. Hey, look, I'll never forget. It's the last great season Derrick Rose had, too. I just was in Indianapolis. Came for the Bulls Pacers game. First of all, it was more red in there than it was in orange and yellow. I was like, y'all know this ain't no rival, right? Reggie never beat Mike. So that's if you're hanging on that, you lost, right? So now I don't know why you think Danny G and the White Boys is about to beat Derrick Rose. Like, this is not happening.
Not happening.
This is how, you know what I'm saying? That's how I felt about Tyrese Halliburton coming out there. It's like, yo, it's the delusion of you thinking it's something when that was just really a passing moment. You got to keep being great. You know, the reason why 40 years later, people talk about Magic and Bird is because they were in step with each other for at least 5 or 6 seasons. This ain't that no more. Trae Young, he in Washington. But if he still keep coming to New York and doing that, then you got to put him in that spot. Sorry, Ty Halle. You got to sit down, rest that ankle up, get yourself ready for the season so that moment can make more sense in Madison Square Garden because it fell flat this year. Sorry to inform you of that.
So, we got last night, and part of the reason why I said last night felt like old Saturday night's main event was also because I felt like that moment right there was like Hulk Hogan, Andre without the big, it just didn't feel as big. It's like the contract signing, and then, you know, Andre gets the best out of best of Hogan, or when they announced that Hogan is the number one contender for the WWF championship to go up against Sergeant Slaughter. Like, it felt like that shit right there. But then there's past Monday Night Raw, where, man, Roman probably did one of his better promos ever in sunning Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
This is what I'll say. You can't do that promo and then on Saturday night's main event come with this shit.
Yeah, man.
I know it's the Knicks, y'all. I get it. And I know you want to celebrate the Knicks and Madison Square Garden and give him the belt and all of that stuff. But we ain't got no time for that.
Yeah.
Especially after you just gave that promo, basically telling Seth Rollins, you will always be number two.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you know what would have made that promo even better, Kent? Is if he would have told that man, hey, I'm better than Shawn Michaels. But in this situation, I'm Shawn Michaels. You Marty Jannetty. If he would have said that,
I would have went up. I was like, okay, hey, you know what? Maybe we need another 5-year run.
Yeah. I'm better than Shawn Michaels. I'm the greatest of all time. But I'm gonna give you an example that a lot of people like to give when it comes to tag teams. I'm Shawn Michaels. You Marty Jannetty. Oh. I'm Scott Steiner. You Rick. Sorry, Brock, but this.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Braun, excuse me. Sorry, but no. You did what you did and broke up this brotherhood, and I turned out to be way better than you, and you had every advantage. Mm-hmm. When he said that Triple H line, I was like, oh, your daddy. Okay, yep.
Hey, you're calling him like, your work daddy. It was crazy.
Your work daddy. Then when he said, you got to win the money in the bank just to win the championship. And Roman, here's how you beat me. Roman, here's how you won here. Because I know there's a number of people outside of me that was like, Seth Rollins gonna win the King of the Ring, and he gonna go up against Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns just told us, y'all, the fact that you're Seth Rollins with every advantage that you've gotten in this business, and you gotta win something just to go up against me. Boy, you right, Roman. I'm wrong. You're right. I am sorry. You basically just said that, Seth, that makes you look weak, yeah. That you're you, and you need help to get to my level. You need a helping hand to get to my level. And when you get there, you're not even on my level. You're just on the island of relevancy. Mm. I'm making you relevant at this point. You ain't making me relevant. Which leads me to this question, Kent. Because when he said this, I said, damn. How many times have we gotten the number one versus the number two in some type of capacity? At SummerSlam. It's not been a lot.
No.
But either this match is going to be like Brock versus Roman and what, 2022 SummerSlam, Nashville? You had the shirt on last week where it is not only an anticipated match, the match itself lives up to every expectation. Mm-hmm. Or this could be Stone Cold Undertaker SummerSlam, Highway to Hell, where that match was billed great. Then they had the match. And it wasn't. And it wasn't because the two people in the ring even was like, man, I don't know what happened that night. Kind of off. This was not what we wanted. Do you feel like if you had to put it in a direction, Stone Cold Undertaker, Brock, Roman, where can you see this match slotting? Is it more towards Brock Roman, or do you feel it could be closer to Stone Cold and The Undertaker?
I'm going to go Brock Roman because, I mean, until it actually happens, Seth versus Roman has not missed yet. It may not have been the greatest match you've ever seen. It may not be it may not be match of the year, and it may not even be your favorite match, but Seth versus Roman does not, like, it doesn't, it's never subpar. Like it doesn't miss in the fact of like, okay, I can deal with that. See, like, you know, when you open up the spectrum of hit or miss, right? Because hit don't always mean it's a classic.
Yeah. Just means it's a great match. Just a
right. Match. And miss don't mean that it's a total botched job, failed, finished, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean that either. It just is like, you know what? For what I wanted from y'all too, I didn't get it. And I think no matter what, you're going to get it from both of them, because now you're talking to the
That was crazy. That was crazy.
But y'all are gonna get it, so you know, I'll say that now it's not necessarily about the being the two best wrestlers in the industry. It's more about being two of the better storytellers in the ring. And I think they do that both very well. Dare I say, the wrestling match is Cody and Punk. The storytelling match is Roman and Seth. And I'm not mad at that. Because what story do I really need to see from Punk and Cody at this point? Not much. I definitely need a really great story to be told between Seth and Roman. Because here we are, 14 years from the day you both debuted, and the world title's on the line, and it's only the two of you left remaining, and we know this is just the new beginning. Because again,
but they're not the only ones that still remaining. You were there.
Oh yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying? I was there. Yeah, damn it, I was there. I mean, hey, damn it, I outlasted Ryback. Who knew? I say that to say I do think this will hit because of just who we're dealing with. And I think that no matter what, unless for some reason wrestling storytelling ain't part of the equation here, I don't see this missing.
Yeah, I don't see it missing. I don't see it missing as a wrestling match. As you said, anytime these two have been in the ring with each other, they've given us a dope match. You said after that Royal Rumble match that this should be the WrestleMania match. Like, just scrap Absolutely. Everything. And you've been campaigning for this to be the WrestleMania match for the last couple of years. So I don't think this going to miss. I just don't like the storyline. I just don't. It's not getting me there, but it's like to the point where I'm going to watch it. Yeah. And I'm probably, I'm going to watch this match, of course. Night mm-hmm. 2, SummerSlam, Minnesota. Yes. I'm going to be all in, and I am all in for Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I just need a little bit of help, though. I just need a little bit of help. I just need a little bit of assistance. And Roman, I felt like, gave us that assistance on last Monday's Raw.
For sure.
Saturday night's main event. I don't need the celebrity angle. I don't need the Macho Man getting punched in the face by Buster Douglas in his match against Hulk Hogan. I don't need the celebrity angle. Keep that away from me. That celebrity angle could have been for Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Really? Like, it could have been for Trick. It could have been with Bron. It could have been with Paul Heyman. I don't care. I did not need that. Because here's the other part of it, too. Who's the face? And who's the heel? So was Seth Rollins and Tyrese Halliburton the heels on Saturday night's main event?
And MSG? And,
I mean, it didn't feel like it, though. And really? The only reason why it didn't feel like it to me, because it's still Seth freaking Rollins. And true. Seth is the one that's the number two. And he's trying to prove he's number one, but he didn't do anything dastardly to make himself the heel.
Yeah.
It's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree with you, but you can't do that in the first city that cheered the tribal chief. Like, you can't. Like, once the bloodline was a thing and the tribal chief character was a thing, Roman got booed all the way to MSG. And then when him and the Usos came out there that night, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. They going crazy and they can't wait to acknowledge Roman Reigns. Like, this lets me know New York wrestling fans are different. Like, they are now taking the place of what Toronto was in the 90s, because they were like, yeah, no, we get it, but he on what we on. Like, we
he good over everything. Here.
Right. Wait, New York is on an island. We are relevant. Skip with all this wrestling stuff you're talking about. We cheer for Roman Reigns. And, hey, look, and if it wasn't for more confirmation, he came out with Jalen Brunson. And, yeah, obviously somebody else needs to come out with Seth Rollins to make the other illusion, but hey, if that don't let you know that Roman Reigns is a face whenever he comes to New York, to MSG, that is the precursor. There are now officially three people never getting booed at MSG, as far as I'm concerned. It's Bruno Sammartino, Roman Reigns, and Jalen Brunson.
That's hey, man.
It. Oh, and Patrick Ewing.
Right, yeah. I feel you. And I get it. It's just like, Now, a couple of more items before we get out of here. Women's World Championship situation. Rhea Ripley is out. Won't be wrestling at SummerSlam. So they're doing a ladder match at SummerSlam to determine who would be the interim champion. This is UFC style. Interim. And, of course, when Rhea Ripley is healthy, then that person will wrestle Rhea Ripley to see who's the undisputed World Women's Champion. Right now, currently in the match is Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton. Charlotte Flair, Jade Cargill cost Nia Jax the match. It was some shit. Like, Charlotte Flair cost, Nia Jax the match. So Charlotte Flair be wrestling Nia Jax. And then there'll be two other people. Tiffany Stratton is from Minnesota. She is from Minnesota, so let's make sure we throw that out there. Who should win this interim championship, though? Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, two other women. Like, who should win this match?
Not even joking. I really do feel it should be Nia Jax. Only because there's I think better chemistry than I think we pay attention to when it comes to Rhea versus Nia Jax. Also, just to be honest, I'm not really feeling Rhea versus Tiffany, even though I do think that's what's going to happen. I think we've done, even though we've done Rhea versus Charlotte a few times, I don't know if I'm ready for Rhea versus Flirty Girl Fitness Charlotte. I don't know if I want to see that. And Jade, I think, listen, well, okay, I just thought about this. Maybe it will be Jade, because they are also, they got to build up the, okay, you beat Rhea, now Rhea beat you. So now here's the rubber match with Jade. Look, I'll just let my bias show. It's going to be Tiffany or Jade. It's going to come down to those two, but I think Nia Jax should win. She kind of recreated the dominant woman in wrestling with the title thing, and we kind of glossed over it to get Tiffany the title. And I think we just need to run that back, because there are, I think, women that can pose themselves as more of a dominant threat now, and we might get some more matches that actually slap versus some of these matches that have just been good athletic exhibitions, respectfully.
I think Nia Jax should win. I think Nia Jax should win this. If she's coming back with a knee injury, I need somebody that's going to scare me to get that. Nia Jax should be that person. It's an interim shit too. So it's like, it's not like we don't expect Rhea Ripley to win. Nia Jax is a perfect interim champion with Lash Legend by her side. Jade versus Rhea Ripley was an unexpectedly good match at WrestleMania, but I don't need to see it the third time.
Basically, right,
I don't need to see it again. They wrestled in a rubber match. I'm straight. And as much as we've seen Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax, this is an interim standard basis.
Yeah.
That's why, from an interim standard basis, Nia Jax should be that winner for me. All right. So do we care? We already did the Do We Care a little bit earlier, but that's because we want to figure out if we cared or not. Now we're going to find out what we care about SummerSlam right now. Like, how much are we caring about SummerSlam right now? Let's start with Liv Morgan versus Io Sky for the Raw Women's Championship. Do we care?
I care, even though I don't think there's enough really on this or behind this, but I still care.
I don't care because I don't care about this version of Liv Morgan anymore. She's just screaming now. I'm not going to say what I was about to say because it would have been very disrespectful. But she's just screaming now. And you know why I don't care the most? Because damn, look what y'all doing with the Judgment Day. Because y'all just had the big cat Karl Anthony Towns choke slam the two biggest male members.
Yeah.
So the Judgment Day starting to get hold by Danhausen.
Yeah.
By Danhausen. I don't really care about this match. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I care.
I care as well. And the ending to this is critical for me. And my fandom. I'm going to be dead serious.
Ooh. Hold on. Whoa.
No. Hey, listen, this got to end a certain way. Or I might sign the petition. Okay. Hey, listen. Listen.
Thought it was going to be something else. But yeah, you're right. You're one. Hey, yeah. I don't give a damn where we at. I don't care if we in Minnesota. I don't care what part of Minnesota we at. Minneapolis, St. Paul, yeah. Mankato, any place where the GDs or Vice Lords roam in Minnesota. Wherever a GD or a Vice Lord leaves Chicago to go to Minnesota to live a better life or to work,
man,
I don't care where Minnesota they at. Brock Lesnar don't win at SummerSlam. And if he do, yes, we write in the Comic Sans. We write in the Comic Sans, G.
That's a fact.
If y'all understand what y'all don't understand what that meant, when LeBron James left the Cleveland Cavaliers, the owner wrote a letter in Comic Sans. Yep, we write in the Comic Sans, fam. We call in the NAACP for this one. There's no reason whatsoever for Brock Lesnar winning this match. I'm scared of our. Don't give me no quick shit in the Hell in a Cell.
That's what I'm saying.
Niggas got arrested.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be no 11 minute match in no Hell in a Cell.
Niggas got arrested. That's what I thought you was going. So let me go where I'm going. Cause you're right. If Oprah Femi don't win, we gotta petition. We gotta. If Brock Lesnar defeats Oba Femi at SummerSlam, I need that same energy that y'all give Booker T,
man,
about the Triple H shit at WrestleMania 19. I need that same energy from my group and the group under us.
Yeah.
That being said, boy, don't give me no Hell in a Cell and it's just some suplexes.
Hey.
Y'all gonna do... When was the last time we saw two behemoths in the Hell in a Cell?
Man.
The last time I can remember is Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker.
Yeah. Yep.
They used the hell out of that cage. Fam, if we don't get an epic wrestling match out of those two, nope. Mm-mm. Now, I'm glad Danny said it. I care also because Paul Heyman was a little bit too loose with the colloquialisms on Monday. When he got that man the dumb Nigerian, I said,
see?
Mm-hmm. We're doing too much here.
Yeah.
This ain't Harley Race talking to Ron Simmons, G.
Hey,
we're doing way too much here. Which is more of a reason why I don't need a 5 to 7 minute encounter. There needs to be blood. Like, I need a blading, or it just happened. I need fighting. I don't mind a nigga getting on top of the cage. What I need is one of the greatest Hell in a Cell matches of all time. Because you heard what I said about Roman. So let me put a bow on this. You heard what I said, the question I asked about Roman himself. Here's my fear for Oba versus Brock. It's more of a chance for this match to suck than it is great. Because this match is either going to be great or it's going to be terrible. There's not this is mid. It was decent. This shit gotta be hella decent. This shit gotta be a classic. This shit gotta be a passing of the torch. To the point where Paul Heyman told the Vision, y'all got Maxine. Y'all don't need me. I need Paul Heyman to call that man a dumb Nigerian, but apologize and say, this is my, I'm the advocate for him now. Because who does Paul Heyman got? After Brock is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, I am telling y'all, this match better be great. If it's not, the Oba Femi train, he got to get put over. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Got to be put over. Penta versus Chad Gable.
God.
Do we care?
I do not care.
Wow.
Sorry. Hey, look, man.
I know you don't care about Penta, but I know.
I know.
Chad Gable is like your man. It's like.
Yeah, no, man. And since I do care about Chad Gable, no, stop booking him with dude. Like, hey, look, hey, enough of the wrestling with Mexicans, all right?
He got
and I mean that respectfully. And I mean that respectfully because they got better things to do, too. They got better things to do, too. So I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying it like, damn, bro, like, come on. Like, we've done the damn, what was his name? I almost called him. Golly. Americano. Yeah, we already did. We did that. You apologize to Lucha Libre. You're getting respect from the essays and all of that.
Oh,
bet.
Man.
Bet. Can we please get back to doing other wrestling things? Can we please? Hey, look. If it was like, I feel like I want to see Bron Breakker versus Chad Gable more. I feel like I want to see that more. And I don't even know why. I don't even know how we could make it happen. I just want to see Chad Gable do something else than the MAGA brawl at the Mexican restaurant. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry.
Look, I care because I feel like we're going to get... I think this is the match that's going to steal the show. Chad Gable and Penta is going to steal the show. Chad Gable is going to win. I feel like I should not say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I think we're going to get Bret Hart versus Davey Boy Smith. I think we're going to get that quality of a match. Y'all know how I feel about Penta. Penta can wrestle his ass off, and Chad Gable can wrestle his ass off. And this story for both Penta and El Grande Americano has worked for both when these was just throwaways. But you're right. I am tired of him wrestling masked wrestlers. But this is going to be it. It better be it. Because this ends with him winning the Intercontinental Championship. This is my guarantee before we even get to prediction show. Chad Gable will not only win the Intercontinental Championship, he's going to take that Intercontinental Championships to levels that we have not seen since Gunther.
Okay.
And Gunther was, and might go farther back because Gunther was a big, bruising heel, scary heel, a dominating heel. We about to get back to the Workhorse Championship. I think with Chad Gable winning this, we're getting back to the Workhorse. The Workhorse Championship is the two mid-card championships, U.S. and the Intercontinental Championship. We ain't been at those levels.
Yeah.
Oh, we about to get back to the Workhorse Championship. And I think the quality of this match is going to rival Davey Boy Smith versus Bret Hart. We're going to talk about this match like we talked about that match with the All-American boy winning the Intercontinental Championship. We have no choice. He's going to win, and that's a guarantee. But you know what makes this even better? Why I care? Yeah. Where is Chad Gable from?
Oh, Minnesota.
He's going to do it at home, too. Where did Davey Boy Smith win? Where did he win that bitch at?
He's at Leeds, England, wasn't he?
Yes, he won. He won the Intercontinental Championship in his hometown of London, England. Chad Gable is going to win the Intercontinental Championship in his hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm telling you right now, this match will steal the show. It will steal week one and week two. And it's going to put Chad Gable over so tremendously where I think in the next year or two, we're going to be like, yo, where's this Bret Hart title reign? Where's his title reign? What are we going to be doing with Chad? Now Chad's 40. We got to start bringing some of these young folks in.
Yeah.
Start doing something. I ain't saying he beat Bob Backlund 40. But he 40. You got to stop bringing these. But at the same time, I'm telling you, I think this going to steal the show, Cam. LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keys versus the Bloodline. Jacob. Jimmy bitch ass. Now I got to wrestle with you, Jimmy. And your bitch ass, Jake.
Oh, man.
Do we care?
You know what? I do care because a couple careers are in the balance here. I'm concerned for LA Knight, but I'm also concerned for Solo, to be honest with you. I think I have a prediction, and I'm gonna wait, but man, I do care about this match because I do think three people for sure, potentially five, are gravely affected by what happens in this match.
What we got?
That's why I don't care.
Who we got?
Oh no! I mean, hey, look, LA Knight, Royce Keyes, Solo and Jimmy. I think everything that happens in this match, those are the four that may not be so safe. So something great needs to happen regardless of the win or the loss, even though and there's something I think else that has to happen. Some other element has to happen. So we'll see. We shall see.
Hey, look. I think Royce is good. In fact, Royce talking about, you know, things are going better than he imagined. I am worried about LA Knight, though. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about LA Knight and what's going to go there. The women's ladder match. Do we care about that match?
Man, not... Okay, not really. Not really. Because it's for the interim women's championship. For me, when you are emphasizing interim, that means that, hey, here's the young lady that's going to carry around this title until Rhea gets back. So enjoy, because it's for a limited time only. It's like the McRib or the Shamrock Steak or the Rodeo Burger, or like, you know, when like KFC keep bringing back hot wings or the honey barbecue wings. It's that for me. It's like, okay, hey, look, somebody gonna get a moment and we're gonna respect the moment. But it literally does sound like, you know what? Keep this situation working, you know, but the champ will be back. So I don't really care now. Sorry.
Okay. So the championship matches, do we care about Cody Rhodes and CM Punk yet?
No, not for me. I'm going to stick to my earlier statement. No, I want somebody to turn up. Somebody got to turn up, and then I'll care. Well, once I get to turn up, then I care.
All right. And last but not least, Roman and Seth, do we care?
I definitely care. I'm not going to let Saturday night's main event distract me from the fact that Roman is down in the series, and he's all the way down in the series, and what happens in this match determines how much that series matters moving forward. So I definitely care.
All right, well, look, man, we're on the countdown. We're on the highway to hell, I guess, if you go back to the Stone Cold and the Undertaker joint, or we're going to one of the biggest nights of the summer when it comes to the wrestling side, but we will see what's going on. My Garrett Dempsey is Chad Gable. I'm just throwing it out there. I think Chad Gable will be the Intercontinental Champion come WrestleMania night two. I think they're going to let this stretch out the night two. I think that might be a gimme, but we'll see. You got any Garrett Dempseys?
Oh, man. No, I want to save it. I want to save my Garen Damtee for the prediction show, because I do have a Garen Damtee about the six-man tag between the Bloodline, LA Knight, Royce Keyes, and Solo. But I want to save it, so I want to watch kind of what happens this week before I put the nail on it and be like, yeah, now this is what it is. I guarantee them to you, I'll be back next week, even though the McGee family reunion will be in Georgia. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, look at you going back to Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know.
Well, look, man, close us out on a great show today.
Yes, man. Thank y'all. Whenever you decide to tune in, for tuning in to the First Black Champ podcast, man, listen, every single week, because we are back consistently, every single week that you contribute to the community, we do appreciate it. It is a great and humble feeling. Man, it's been about a solid decade on these hoes, you dig? And we obviously could not do it without all of your support week in and week out. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if nobody told you, man, we appreciate you and thank you for tuning in to us every single week. And just know that always, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast.
Yeah.
It's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. I love you, Nia Jax.